We are nearing the end of our friendship series. We just have this week and next week. And I just want to remind you, and I mentioned already with the announcements, but next week will be our Friendship Sunday. This is an opportunity for us to invite our friends. Maybe you've been looking for something looking for an activity or something that your church is doing to invite a friend or a neighbor. This is your opportunity, especially for our unsaved friends, because this is an opportunity to invite them to church. And next week, it's going to be very clear gospel presentation and very clear about our friendship with God. Also, after service, we're going to have coffee and baked goods for refreshments, and everyone is invited to stay. Your friends are invited to stay to come and socialize for a little bit. Next week, I'm going to have name tags out. We just wore them for picnic. Yeah, well, it's a little slow today. But we are going to wear them again so that everyone has an opportunity that as the guests come in, they feel welcome. So it's not awkward when they're like, I don't know anybody. I don't know their names. So we're just trying to make a very welcoming atmosphere next week. So be on your best behavior. Why are we doing this? It's because most people who come to faith do so because a friend shared Christ with them. It's not because there was a good church in the area, although that's a tool. But even most of you can say that probably when you came to Christ, it was because of a significant person in your life and not necessarily because you came to a church service. One of the roles of the pastors is to equip the saints, that's you, to do the work of the ministry. So my hope is that this gives you an opportunity to do some ministry with your friends. Invite them, talk to them about why we're having it, because we want to welcome people. Today we're going to talk about another friendship, and that friendship is Paul and Barnabas. Now, I know we already talked about Paul in one aspect, but we talked about Paul and Timothy, and in that, it was really Paul who was the one who was really the main, I don't want to say main character, who was the main person that we spoke about because he poured his life into Timothy. But today, we're going to focus more on the role Barnabas played in Paul's life. Without Barnabas, we wouldn't have Paul and his missionary journeys. We wouldn't have most of the New Testament. And Barnabas is one of the ones that went and encouraged a new church full of Gentiles. So that's us. So let's turn to Acts this morning, and let's learn about Paul and Barnabas' friendship. And the first thing that I want us to see about Paul and Barnabas, they didn't hold their pasts against each other. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. So in case you're not sure or unaware of this, Saul and Paul are the same person, okay? There is King Saul, that was Old Testament. This is Saul. Sometimes I call him Saul Paul, just so we understand who I'm talking about. So, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." He replied, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." One of the earliest things that we learn about Paul, Saul Paul, is that Paul was also, was also known as Saul, but he went around harassing and arresting Christians. Saul, Paul, all right, I'm just going to call him Paul for now on so we don't get so confused, but he was a very serious Jew. He took his faith seriously. He took God seriously. And because he was misunderstood the scriptures, he felt that Christians were blasphemous and dangerous. He felt they offended his God. And so when we read about him, one of the things we see is that he was not very nice to Christians. When we read about the stoning of Stephen for his faith, Paul is there holding cloaks of those who were throwing stones and being very approving of what was taking place. In fact, when he encounters Christ, he was on his way to arrest more Jewish believers. Acts chapter 9, verses 26 to 30. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. So this is after Paul has that that we just read, that salvation experience where he encounters Jesus and his heart is transformed. Now he's in Jerusalem and he wants to join the local body. And it says, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Sisera and sent him off to Tarsus. What I really want you to pay attention here is they were, the disciples, the believers at the time, were afraid of Saul, but Barnabas came alongside him and brought him to the apostles and said, "Listen to his testimony. We can trust him." The Christians of the early church all knew Paul's history. They knew that he was opposed to Christians and that everywhere he went, he had persecuted Christians. Word got around about, my brain is not working this morning, Stephen being stoned. And so within that, they were afraid. Reasonable, right? I can't say that I blame him. Saul, up until this point, had been a dangerous man. And this is where Barnabas enters the story. Saul had this experience with God where it transformed his heart. He was no longer the same person. And Barnabas saw that. First, let's tackle what seems to be one of the main characteristics of Barnabas. Barnabas was an encourager. In most accounts of Barnabas, what we read about him is that he is positive, he's encouraging, he's working towards lifting people up, He speaks up for others, he defends them, and he advocates for them. So I don't think it's any coincidence that Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. Now the question is, did his parents name him that, hoping he was going to be encouraging? Or was he encouraging, and so they decided, oh, he's really encouraging, so we'll name him Barnabas. I don't know, at eight days old, I'm not sure you really know. If you've ever had a baby, you know at 8 days old, the last thing those babies are is encouraging, right? Because you're like, I just want to sleep. But Barnabas means son of encouragement. And that's exactly what Barnabas is doing when we read about him here with Paul. He is befriending Paul and is advocating for him to the Christians in Jerusalem. And this is the first thing we can learn about friendship. Barnabas looked past Paul's unsavory past. Kind of the whole point of Christianity is that none of us are really good people. Right? How many of you have ever lied? Bunch of liars. Right? Well, I mean, just basic things like that. Our nature is that we're corrupted. We all have pasts that need forgiving. Otherwise, there would be no need for a Savior, and Jesus' death would be in vain. Now, while most of us, I hope, never looked approvingly on the stoning of someone, if you did, I'd like to talk to you after service. And I'd like some people who are on my side with me so I don't get stoned. But how many of us can say that we have a spotless past? None of us, right? All of us probably have something that we wouldn't want others to know. And probably all of us have experiences in our past that we don't want held against us. Barnabas became an advocate for Paul among the church at Jerusalem. He didn't get caught up in Paul's history. He understood the power of Christ to transform lives. And so he advocated for Paul's acceptance. You know what I think? I think we need more Barnabases in the church today. All too often I hear people bringing up the failures in the past of others in the church. Did you know so-and-so used to do blank? Well, you know Sister Sally has a habit of gossip. All right, are you Sister Sally? Because you sound like you're gossiping when you're telling me that, right? Brother Brad had an affair. Miss Myrtle used to work in a liquor store. Elder Evan has tattoos and used to drink. I wouldn't have let him become an elder, right? Now, maybe it's not those things that you've heard, or maybe those aren't the things you said. But in the church, sometimes we look at people and we see their past more than we see what Christ has done in their life. Why do we do that? Well, honestly, my observation is because usually it makes us feel better about our own shortcomings. Right? It elevates us to be critical of others. But Barnabas didn't get caught up in the past. He wanted Paul to become the best believer he could be. And so he advocated for Paul's acceptance into the church. We need more Barnabases and fewer Debbie Downers. Sorry, Debbie. Nothing personal. I just didn't know what else to... I try so hard to pick neutral names, you know. Christianity was never meant to be this entity that only accepts those who have it all together. If it was, not one of us would be welcomed. Jesus died so that all people, including the worst offenders, could be forgiven, transformed, and brought into the kingdom. And I am so thankful that he did that. The second thing we learn from their friendship is that they elevated each other. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So the young church was growing, but the Jewish believers at the time were only sharing Christ with other Jews. But then they started to branch out and they started to share Christ with the Greeks, the Gentiles. And when so many came to faith, the church in Jerusalem said, hey, something's going on there. Let's send Barnabas to go find out what's going on, to encourage the people, and for him to start to disciple the people. When Barnabas gets there, he realizes, you know who would be really good at this? Saul. Barnabas could have gone there alone. But he saw the value in taking Paul with him. This could have been Barnabas' moment to be the guy, right? I encouraged the church. I was the leader of the church. I spoke to the church, and I trained them. This was his opportunity to elevate himself. He could have gone and been the hero. Look at how I taught. Look at how they grew underneath my leadership. But that isn't what Barnabas' heart was. His heart was for the newly forming church of Gentiles. And so he knew that Paul would be perfect to come in and help the church grow. He elevated Paul instead of elevating himself. You know, it's really easy to want to be the hero. To want others to look up to us. To want the spotlight on us. But look at the character Barnabas had. To turn the spotlight from himself and to shine it on the work of others. You know what a really good friend does? He doesn't make it all about himself. Barnabas could have made it all about himself, but he knew that Paul could make a real difference here. And so he elevated Paul and he set him loose to do ministry here in this church because he believed in Paul. But the question is, why was Barnabas able to do this? Well, I think one of the biggest reasons he was able to do this is because he himself was secure in his identity in Christ. When we're not secure in Christ, then our tendency is to want to find other things to be secure in, like being the hero. Barnabas didn't need to prove himself because he rested sure in Christ's love and acceptance. If you really want to be a good friend that can encourage and elevate others, it begins with your own identity and security in Christ. If you want to be a good friend, then have a good friendship with Jesus to start with. So many relationships are ruined and so many people are turned off, honestly, by Christians sometimes, because of the insecure behaviors of Christians. People who look to elevate themselves by being overly critical of others. Don't look at my faults, look at his faults. Wanting to be the center, wanting the attention. You know, a lot of these celebrity pastors that we've been seeing lately who have had major falls are because they've built their entire identity upon their success in themselves. And they've neglected standing firm on what God has done in their life. If we want to be good friends, we need to know that all of our needs are met in Christ. And we don't befriend people for what we can use them for. Knowing who we are in Christ and being secure in Christ allows us to uplift others, because we don't need others to constantly praise us or to look up to us, because all we need, our value, comes from Christ. So in turn, we can be a blessing and an encourager because it doesn't threaten us if somebody else succeeds. The church needs more Barnabases. Last thing we're going to touch on today that we can learn from Paul and Barnabas, they forgave each other. Acts 15. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. Paul and Barnabas had two different opinions about how to make the same goal. Barnabas, in line with his encouraging nature, wanted to restore Mark. He wanted to take Mark with him. Paul felt it was best not to take Mark, which, to be honest, is a little ironic when you consider how Barnabas spoke up on behalf of Paul. And that's the only reason why Paul was there. But I digress. Just notice, though, that the Bible doesn't indicate which one was right and which one was wrong. It doesn't say Paul was wrong. It doesn't say Barnabas was wrong. You know why? Because this isn't an issue of sin. This is an issue of differing opinion. And so neither one was really wrong. They were just approaching it from different points of views. And it's really, really important that we remember that just because you feel strongly about something doesn't necessarily make the other person who views it differently wrong or sinful. They disagreed about how to proceed, but that didn't mean the other one was an apostate now. Isn't it funny how sometimes as believers we're like, we have all this freedom in Christ and he's transformed us, but you think differently than me because I'm not sure you're a believer. Isn't that what we do sometimes when people think differently than us? They didn't accuse each other of not being true Christians. They didn't permanently disavow each other. They did what adults should do. They found a compromise. They said, all right, I'll take Mark and I'll go that way. You take Silas and you go that way. And you know what? God used it to spread the gospel even farther. Even though their disagreement was sharp, I think is the word that it used. Let me back up a little bit here. Barnabas, they had such a sharp disagreement. Even though their disagreement was sharp, it didn't end their friendship. Now, it's easy to look at this and be like, oh, they went their separate ways. I guess they didn't like each other anymore. But let's look at a couple of other scriptures. First of all, let's look at 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 11. Do your best to come to me quickly for Demas, because he loved the world, has deserted me, and gone back to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Now, I know we're talking about Paul and Barnabas, but I just want you to take note. Paul comes to see Mark as being a useful person in ministry. So Paul's attitude towards Mark has changed. The very Mark that he was like, no, I'm not taking him. Now he's like, hey, can you bring Mark? So just keep that in mind. We're building a case here, okay? Colossians 4:10. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instruction about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Oh, interesting. Now Mark is with Paul doing ministry. So Mark and Paul obviously worked out their differences. And we learned another interesting thing here. Mark and Barnabas are related. Now we understand why there was such a sharp disagreement about leaving them behind, right? Barnabas is like, yo, he's my family. Give him a chance. Mark and Paul reconcile and actually work with each other to further the gospel. So it'd be kind of strange that Paul and Mark reconciled, but Paul and Barnabas would hold a grudge against each other, wouldn't it? But I'm not done yet. I have one more verse. But when you consider how big of a role Barnabas played in Paul's life, and in the beginning of his ministry, it seems maybe not realistic that they would have separated and not ever spoke to each other again. Now, one more scripture. 1 Corinthians 9, 3 through 6. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Now, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church who were complaining about the rights of apostles and disciples and all those things. Don't we have a right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers in Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living? This is well after their division that happened. And here, Paul considers Barnabas' ministry on equal footing with his own. You know, Barnabas, who you know, does he not have a right to work for a living? Do I not have a right to work for a living? Like, he's putting them on the same level. He wasn't like, You know, I know Barnabas is a loser, but don't I have a right to work for my... Though he isn't directly talking about their friendship, the way he speaks about Barnabas here is positive, especially when he could have left Barnabas out altogether and used somebody else, or not even used somebody else, but just talked about himself. Instead, he validates Barnabas and the work he is doing as being equal to what he is doing. It would be strange if Paul felt strongly that Barnabas was wrong and offensive and no longer a friend, and then view Barnabas also as being equal with him in the work of the God. The point being, they forgave each other. Disagreements amongst friends is going to happen. Okay? We are each created unique in God's image. And as being unique, that means we're each going to have unique opinions and feelings and preferences and ways to go about doing things. And if my way that I enjoy to express myself causes you to be angry with me and say, I'm never going to speak to him again, we've missed it. Way too often, especially in the church, people alienate each other because they disagree about something. We need to be forgiving. And sometimes we need to just not be petty about things. Because not everything is worth us giving up a friendship over. And it's okay if somebody thinks differently than you. And if somebody accidentally offends you, it's okay. Accept their apology. Or just forgive them without making a big deal about it. And move on with your life. This is really keeping with the themes I've already mentioned in the sermon. I talked about understanding our need of a Savior. Isn't it funny how we're like, oh, I need a Savior. I'm so glad Jesus loves me and forgives me. But you're unforgivable. Right? It goes along with being secure in Christ. I'm secure in Christ. I recognize my own fallenness, but I also know what Jesus has done for me and that he has forgiven me. And so sometimes when other people offend him, yeah, maybe I'm annoyed. But guess what? I got to get over it. Because you don't give me my meaning. My meaning comes from Christ. And so if you slight me, even if by accident, although sometimes people do slight you on purpose, but even then, guess what? It doesn't change who you are in Jesus Christ. And in the end, God used Barnabas and his approach and Paul and his approach and their disagreement to spread the gospel into a different region. Neither was wrong, they just approached it differently. And even though they sharply disagreed, they were able to maintain friendship. All right. Let's just do a quick review here so we can wrap it up. Paul and Barnabas, they didn't hold their past against each other. If you keep bringing up somebody's past to them, especially to others, you're missing the mark. And guess what? The more you bring up somebody else's past, probably other people are bringing up your past too. So instead of us getting into all that, how about if we look at the work that Christ is doing in somebody's life? They elevated each other. Be secure enough in your standing with God that you can celebrate somebody else's wins. Be secure enough in who you are and how God created you and secure enough in your relationship with God that you can elevate your friends without feeling threatened. Forgive each other. Disagreements don't have to be the end of your friendship. I tell you, when I worked in Freehold, one of my friends who worked there with me, Pastor Jamal, him and I sometimes, we butted heads. He was very strongly opinionated. Not that I'm strongly opinionated. And there were times that we were like, no. Like, this is not how it is. You're not seeing it right. But guess what? We can disagree with each other and still remain close friends. In fact, in a couple of weeks, he's going to be coming here so I can dedicate his child. So disagreements don't have to lead to disavowment. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to move on. Otherwise, you're going to grow bitter and overly critical. And we all, because we're all fallen, we all have a tendency to do that. Friendships are worth the work it takes to keep. I hope that you are blessed by learning about Paul and Barnabas's friendship. I hope over the last month, as we've talked about these friendships, that you've been challenged in a good way and that you have found things that you can implement into your friendships. And my goal isn't just to encourage, hey, everybody be friendly. My goal is to encourage you. Because we are adopted into God's family. And when we come to Christ, we automatically have some great friendships with other believers who have come into Christ. And we have something the world needs to know. We have something that should make the world jealous. Because they should see how we love each other and be like, man, I've not experienced that before. And so we have the opportunity to love others and befriend others in a way that honors God and makes them hungry. But I also want to remind you, people are not projects. So we don't befriend people just so that we can have a notch on our belt. Oh, I invited them to church. Here's my notch. Let me find somebody else. We befriend people because Christ has befriended us. And we want to be good reflectors of Jesus. Let's pray.